you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Now, I got to say, I know it's 8 o'clock and you got to do the whole reset and all that professional stuff. Do you want to do it? Go ahead.
No, I have to tell him about the Yankee tickets. It's the only
That's
thing.
What I'm
so
saying.
Just don't, you just don't let me forget about that.
No. Go.
All right. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live with the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Another pair of Yankees Game 2 ALCS tickets this hour to give away. We're going to play a John Sterling drop now. Now is not the time to call. The time to call is the next time you hear that John Sterling drop later this hour. And when you hear it later this hour, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, and be caller number 7. So let's hear the John Sterling drop for this hour.
Hand-churned guacamole.
Oh, yes, nice. One of my favorites. Okay. Yes. Hand-churned guacamole.
Hand-churned guacamole.
Okay, so when you hear hand-churned guacamole later this hour, that's when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, and you can win a pair of tickets to see the Yankees and the Guardians in Game 2 of the ALCS. You have to be caller number 7 after you hear
hand-churned guacamole.
Okay.
You got everything good. I love that. So professional.
Yes.
And you do it well.
Well, thank you.
You do it really well.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's so smooth.
Yeah.
I will say that we've been talking about the Mets. We've been talking about the Jets and the Bills. We've been talking about the Bengals and the Giants. We've been talking about the Yankees and the Guardians. Just two things I just want to mention really quickly. Number one, for those people who do listen to this radio show and know that we both love playing golf, and we both enjoy playing golf together.
Yeah.
And we all know that the last 2 months, your golf game has been in the crapper.
Yeah, that's right.
And you, like most other golfers, we all go through it. We hit a downturn, and you hit a downturn. And you worked on it, and you worked your way out of it. And yesterday, I would have to say probably, if not the best, maybe one of the top five best rounds of the summer?
Yes.
And fall now?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially where we were playing and from what tee box we were playing from. Yes, it was, yeah.
And absolutely. I just want you to know that I noticed.
Well, I know. I appreciate that. And you were saying it during a round. We won some money and I'm back now. Now I'm totally back, and I'm ready to move to a warmer climate so I can play all winter.
All right, so now we're not going to discuss that anymore.
Yep.
I don't want to get anybody upset with us.
Sure.
That we're not talking Yankees or Mets or anything else. But I do have to say, on Saturday night, Wes McCauley, a referee in the NHL, decided to change the rule book by himself and do something like I have never, ever seen before. And somebody's got to, corral that guy. He's like the Angel Hernandez of Major League Baseball. Maybe not that bad, but, and I know he did a nice gesture for Sam Rosen at the start of the game, and I love that, and that's great. He's got personality, this referee, but some of these freaking calls that they were making made me feel like they changed the rule book in the NHL, so I'm going to work on that this afternoon.
Okay.
I'm going to read up on it and see whether or not the rules were changed.
Okay.
Because right before my eyes, I saw things that I never thought I'd ever see before.
Yeah, it was a rough home opener because of that.
And a rough home opener for the Islanders, too. And then this Utah hockey club that's reformulated, the old Arizona Coyote team.
Yeah.
They're playing the Devils tonight, and the Devils, had a bad loss against the Maple Leafs.
Yep.
And after coming up with those two game-winning, those two big wins in Prague over the Sabres, who stink.
Okay.
So.
Here we are.
I got that off my chest.
All right.
That's all I wanted. Now we can go back after like a minute and 10 seconds of discussing two other things. Now we can go back and talk more sports if you'd like.
Right. Well, this was sports. It was all sports, everything that you just mentioned. But, you know, I'm getting the sense from you, and I could be reading you wrong, but I'm getting the sense from you that this 9-0 loss kind of sucked out a little bit of confidence in the Mets from you. Now, it wasn't for me. It's still, the task is still available, and you got Manaea on the mound. You come back 1-1. You got three games at home, so I'm not as concerned. But I'm sensing that you thought, like, man, like 9-0, couldn't hit. Flaherty awesome. Senga stinks. Peterson didn't pitch well. Dodgers are the Dodgers. That you're not as confident today as you were before that game.
The only reason I say that is because their pitching carried them through again another shutout.
Yeah.
And we know how many innings now that they have not allowed a run. And that concerns me, because for those of us who love great pitching and watching pitchers do their thing at a very high level, the way that the Dodgers have done it over the last three games, especially against a team like San Diego, who does have power hitters and good hitters in their lineup as well, it's pretty impressive. And, you know, the Mets, you know, they looked a little bit overwhelmed yesterday in the batter's box, I'm not going to lie. And I didn't like the way their own pitchers were pitching, especially with the way that Senga got the game started. So, I was very disappointed and I'm very concerned about where they are. And that's why I'm glad they're playing today. And hopefully they get out of these doldrums of what we witnessed last night. Cause that was not the Mets team that we've all fallen in love with.
No. And they need to score early. I don't think this is a situation where you can wait until the eighth inning and all the dramatics happen. I think you gotta get up on this team, give Manaea a lead, have him settle in. And I'm confident that they're going to play a hell of a lot better today. I'm not sitting here going to guarantee a win, but they're going to play a hell of a lot better. And coming home 1-1 in this series, it doesn't matter how you got there. Just get there and have Citi Field be a nutso zone on Wednesday night at 1-1. That's it, man.
You don't want to come home to nothing.
No,
you got to get the split, and that's, you know, you always say that. In situations like this. And when you win the first game, you always, man, oh, man, we'd be great if we get the sweep.
Right.
Well, now we're in the other situation. We're in the other bucket where we have to win, or they have to win, this particular game today. And the amazing thing to me is, like, it's like 1 o'clock their time.
Yeah, I know, but that game ended, what, their time? It's not like it was
11:15. 8:15 last night.
Yeah, right, 8:15 their time. So, I mean, 8:15 to 1, not that bad.
Don't you find that kind of strange?
I'm happy that the Mets are playing at the time that they're playing at. So
why?
Yes.
Why? Because it fits into your schedule?
Yes.
Or because you want them to flush it?
No, because it fits into my schedule. Like, I don't, because I can get that entire game in before I have to worry about the Yankees and the Jets. Now, I'm still...
Well, you got the split screen. You're good.
Yes, but I grew up a Mets fan. And even though every one of these games is important to me tonight, that's the one that's most important. So I the fact that I get that standalone and not distracted like I had last night, distracted with the Giants, that's what I like.
I mean,
but you're right. All take our personal views and preferences out of it. The Yankees should be playing at 4 o'clock, and the Mets and the Dodgers should be playing when the Yankees are playing.
Yes,
that should be the
game. Okay, just as long as we're on the same page.
Yeah, no, but I'm not going to sit there and complain about it, because I like the fact that this is.
Speaking of the TV, like, trying to find these games all over the place, it's just maddening. And now, I don't know if you saw this, the NFL is allowing ESPN Disney to put 6 more games on ABC. As well as simulcasting on ESPN.
Well, who are they taking the games from?
They're not. They're ESPN games, so obviously all within the same company. And now they're putting them in, you know, on ABC in primetime.
Oh, for Monday night.
Yeah, for Monday night football.
All right.
I guess ABC's primetime ratings suck or something, so they convinced the NFL to allow them to throw football on their network.
Yeah.
So they can, you know, charge more money advertising-wise, I guess.
And by the way, as far as, like, finding stuff, now, me and Al are fortunate because we have a MLB.com account because of where we work that can bypass some of the things that block people. Like, SNY is not on YouTube TV, but I could watch locally the Mets in during the regular season on MLB.com app. So I got YouTube TV.
Well, you're a sports talk host. I mean, you're a sports guy.
Right. So we get a little, you know, crumb here or there, some cool thing. So I got YouTube TV, not worried about the SNY blockage of that. So when you say, like, it's a pain in the ass to find the games, YouTube TV makes it so easy because you put in, like, your preferences at the beginning when you sign up for it, and it just, like, what they know you want to watch is right there on the homepage, and I just click on it. I have no idea what channel anything is anymore.
Yeah, I know.
So it just tells me, it's like, here it is.
I know.
You know, all the football games, all the baseball games. So it's not, it's, to me, it's no longer a pain in the ass after, you know, ditching cable. So it's, I mean, and there's just,
and we got the Gotham app, and I mean, it's a lot,
but it's all right.
You cut the cord and you end up spending more money.
Probably. No, actually, you know what? I don't think I am. I actually know that I'm not. I know that I'm not spending, because I did the whole thing in my head. So, not in my head, but wrote it down. Can't do math in my head very well.
I mean, I feel like it's so cumbersome. That's not a word people use very often.
Cumbersome, no.
No.
Nope. Bringing that one back, too. But it's... The stuff at the split screen and everything, it's going to be great tonight for the Yankees and the Jets. They'll put both of those things up because they know it's New York things and know that's what I want to watch. And bang, it's right there. I don't even need to create it myself. And I'll have the Mets at 4:00. But think about this. This is crazy.
Right. And you got the Devils and Rangers playing tonight, too.
Well, yes. I mean, tell me about that tomorrow when I see
you. Well,
in the makeup chair, I'll let you fill me in on all of that tomorrow. But everything's starting, of course, at 4:08. So the afternoon show, the Evan and Tiki and Morash and Positive Tommy, they're going to be at the American Dream Dream Bar today.
All right.
Well, no, what? Well,
good for them.
Well, I'm promoting the show.
A lot of stuff going on over there. So are they doing a watch party over there? Is this what this is for the Met game?
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
Well, it's also like for Jets fans.
It's a place to go and pregame before. Watch the Met game. Hopefully the Mets get a win, and then you show up at MetLife Stadium, and then your Jets get a win.
Exactly.
Very, very smart on behalf of Odyssey and the afternoon guys.
This is what I was saying. I mean, you were sitting there, you were doing a little poo-poo situation. I didn't
poo-poo or anything.
You're just like, what? Who gets what?
Yeah, I know what they're doing. I was listening to Sean Marash yesterday.
Yeah, we both were, because we were leaving the...
Yes.
Yeah, at the same time.
He was good yesterday.
Yeah.
He was bouncing around all over the place.
Yeah, he was.
When he wants to be, like, not like the doofus in the room, he's actually... pretty good, entertaining.
So you don't like it when he's the doofus in the room?
I mean, I think he likes being the doofus in the room, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah. I thought yesterday he was very entertaining, very informative, and I thoroughly enjoyed listening to him leading into the Giants pregame show that goes on for 3.5 hours.
Think he gets paid extra for that? They just toss him in there and say, hey, listen,
like a double Giants pregame show.
Yeah.
It was because you had the Sean Marash deal, and he was, you know, obviously talking about, you know, the Eagles and the Washington Commanders and the Dallas Cowboys getting smashed and everything from the Giants' perspective, and talking about the Mets, talking about the Yankees. I mean, I thought he did a great job. I found him very entertaining.
Yeah, me too. I always have. Always had Sean's back.
And he's got that, like, that high-pitched voice that when he gets mad.
Yeah, he definitely does. He gets that. Yeah, he gets like lispy and high pitched.
All right, so now they're over at the American Dream. What's the name of the place that they're at?
I believe it's called the Dream Bar.
The Dream Bar at the American Dream.
Dream Bar. Ooh. Ooh. We got some Hassan Reddick update here. You ready? Adam Schefter, this just in. 38 seconds ago.
Did they commit him?
Jets holdout edge rusher Hassan Reddick has hired Drew Rosenhaus and Ryan Matha as his new agents. Rosenhaus and Matha already have spoken with the Jets and are attending tonight's game against the Bills. We look forward to working with the Jets to get this resolved as soon as possible, Rosenhaus said,
Hassan would like to be a New York Jet for years to come.
Yeah, okay, he's not getting a new contract. I'm sorry.
And our goal is to make that happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Unless there's some fugazi contract that's written in that the Jets aren't guaranteeing any money. Just to give everybody a little bit of clarity on this whole thing, so.
Yeah. Well, who needs Hassan Reddick when you've got an interim head coach and Todd Downing as your offensive coordinator? You know,
I think it's the move that had to be made. I hate to see guys get fired, but I'm with the move, man. 100% with it.
Yeah, I Rob Saleh to me never had it.
I told you 2 weeks ago that there's a lot of crap going on over there, and you could see it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett overwhelmed. Rob Saleh never had it. I think that it was definitely a bold move to try to save the season. We'll see if it ends up working out. But here's the thing. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't mean that not firing those guys or demoting those guys is going to work out. Because keeping the status quo there, I don't think was going to work out. So it
had to do something had to be done.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 2 weeks offensively has been brutal. And I sense that the head coach saw guys that were unprepared and an offense that didn't have answers for things that opposing defenses were doing to them. And there have to be in-game adjustments that you can make. Now, you could sit here and say, well, if Aaron Rodgers just completes this pass or if this field goal is made, maybe they're 4-1. But they're not. They're not 4-1.
No.
And, you know, there's a lot of money invested in this team and a lot of money invested in Aaron Rodgers. And and Woody Johnson wants to win now. And, you know, he ain't getting any younger.
And nobody is.
It took balls to do it. And I'm all for it.
Nobody is.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got another update for us. What is happening, Jerry?
Good morning. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Obviously, a lot with the football. Week 6 in the NFL, but we start with the baseball because we're in the League Championship Series. The NLCS opened last night. Not much of a game, though, as the Dodgers kind of pounded the Mets.
Swing and a bouncer towards third, past the diving Vientos. Base hit going down the left field line. Hernandez is in. Right behind him is Kiermaier. All the way around comes Ohtani to score, standing as the throw comes into Lindor.
And three runs were in, and it was 9-0 Los Angeles. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Mookie Betts caps the scoring. Max Muncy, the two-out, two-run single in the first. 9-0, a game-one victory for L.A. Couple of things here along the way. The Mets didn't hit. They clearly didn't pitch all that well, and they didn't run the bases good either when they were on base, which was not often. Here was Jesse Winker, asked what happened when he was thrown out on the base paths when they finally put some action on the bases, because it was otherwise nothing.
It's on me. You know, whenever you get on base, you kind of go through like a checklist of plays, and, you know, I read the off the bat, I read first to third, and then I kind of just got caught in no man's land.
And he was, and
he would have made it to third easily because they weren't going to throw it there.
If he didn't stop.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he would have made it, and kind of looked like that guy that was smoking the cigar after they won and beat the Phillies in the locker room. Remember him? They showed him in the locker room.
Yes.
It's like sitting there.
He looked like a creep.
That's right. It was like that.
On second base, going to third. Here was Carlos Mendoza. So they start Kodai Senga, and he was brutal. He had 30 pitches. Only 10 went for strikes. He walked four, including walking the bases loaded. Did get two outs before getting, had started with an out with Ohtani, but then got the one out before the two-run single by Muncy. Any thoughts of pulling Senga after the first inning and not going back to him in the second?
I had Rick Garrett going. But this is some of the tricky decisions here, you know, where you pull him too early, where, you know, I felt like he was one, especially after he got that pop up, you know, with the bases loaded. He was
one. Yeah, one pitch away, perhaps. But what was his number last night? He was going to 50, 55? It's not like.
Right.
He needed some quick innings to stay in longer than a couple. Here was Freddie Freeman. See, we're not reliant on the home run ball.
It's very hard to do in the postseason. You're facing the best pitchers in the game. So to score runs, multiple runs, we had a good approach. We walked a lot, capitalized on some.
Yes, they did. And he's
really struggling running, too, with that ankle.
With a bum ankle, yes.
Obviously doesn't affect him hitting the baseball, but when he's on the bases, you could tell he's
affected. The top three guys had five hits, and they had five RBIs.
Yep, pretty good.
And they also each got walked.
Kind of the way it goes, yeah. And Jack Flaherty was phenomenal. Seven innings, two hit ball for the Dodgers for the win. So I get you some reaction from the Rico Bronya podcast.
Could you imagine if the Tigers had him? Maybe they wouldn't have lost to the Guardians.
Well, I mean, they did throw out Skubal in that game five, who was, you know, the Cy Young Award winner and got smacked around. So who knows?
Here was Evan's initial reaction to the loss on the Rico after the game.
The Mets get beaten from pillar to post. They pitched like crap. They hit like crap. Their defense was awful. Their base running was bad. The managing was suspect. I mean, where the hell do you want to start with that slop?
So instead
so I don't have to listen at 2 o'clock.
Well, that's fair.
I got all his takes.
He did find some sunshine, though, in this storm, if you will.
Oh, okay.
And you explain to me what this means.
I do have a positive in an absolute ass-whooping 9-0 loss to the L.A. Dodgers. Mm. The positive is we did not have our balls ripped off of us.
Okay. So there's that.
Yeah.
My guess is he means it wasn't a gut-wrenching loss, that it was over early.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that.
Look, they're in the National League Championship Series, and we're all disappointed by the way that the performance went down last night.
Mm-hmm.
But as Gio said, they got another game today. It's at 4 o'clock. You turn the page. When something sucks, you turn the page.
Yep.
You keep turning it until you find the right page. So you know exactly what you're doing, and hopefully today is that day for the Mets.
And maybe Sean Manaea does it.
And we say it every time that a road team starts out a series. The goal is to come back with a split. If you win two, that's great, but you still have that opportunity to get that goal. And then the American Dream Bar for those guys today. If you're going to the Jets-Bills Monday Night Football game and you are a Mets fan, you could go there early, park early, don't have to worry about the traffic.
Packed.
And by the way, I'm really disappointed in Evan.
Why?
Because that sounded like that could have come from June, that podcast. That's how he sounded at the beginning of the season when they were terrible and things were going bad and they threw the the glove up into the stands, all of that crap.
I think he was just disappointed that
they're in the National League Championship Series.
Doesn't mean you can't be disappointed in the moment.
No, we're all disappointed, but you know what? Like Gio said, you can't, what are we giving up now?
No, not at all. The exact opposite.
No one's giving up.
This is where you dig in.
Yeah, exactly. Dig those heels in. Get galvanized.
Yankees Guardians tonight.
Hand-churned guacamole.
First pitch on the Fan at 7:30, right after 7:30. Rodon and Cobb are the starters there. As for the football last night, Sunday Night Football, not a good night for the Giants.
Pistol formation, Brown the tailback, Burrow in a shotgun set on a 2nd and 3 at the Giant 30. Hand it off for Brown. Brown's got a first down right up the middle. He'll take it to paper for a touchdown.
He did from 30 yards out, a few plays after he had scored from 2 yards out, but it was wiped away by a penalty. No problem. The Bengals still score and win. They beat the Giants 17-7. Joe Burrow, 208, with a 47-yard touchdown run of his own in the first quarter. He says much needed.
We'd be scratching and clawing for the rest of the year. We still really are, but it's good to get a win. Great to see our defense step up like that.
Because they've taken some heat
the last couple weeks, but they played awesome today.
Yeah.
Well, he's pretty honest.
He was honest.
Daniel Jones now 1-14 in primetime games.
Yeah, it's crazy because he's been so good.
Well, he's good away from home. He doesn't play well. I mean, the numbers tell you all you need to know.
Home and away is crazy.
They call them splits, I think.
Oh, yeah?
The splits are amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on.
I mean, there's one good quarterback in that mix there, and that's Ken Anderson. I guess Andy Dalton had a little bit of a run, but
they really were in the playoffs a lot, actually, with Andy Dalton.
They just couldn't get past Pittsburgh.
Here was Zach Taylor on the Burrow touchdown run that set the tone.
I mean, we called two plays, and then he took off on a run once he saw the coverage. So great awareness by him to see how they were playing us, you know, in their double-double. They were trying to take away, you know, our two receivers over there. And he just did a good job pulling the ball down, finding the run lane, and finishing. That was pretty impressive.
And last hour, we heard Bobby Okereke on this specific play. Here he is answering the question that you were just discussing in terms of splits. Why are you guys better on the road as opposed to home?
I mean, there's probably a multitude of reasons. Every game is different. But yeah, this game just got to execute when it comes down to the wire.
Yeah, well, he didn't really get much of an answer.
It just comes down to they have a... The quarterback has a hard time playing in front of the home fans for whatever reason. I don't know.
Is he like the Carlos Rodon of the Giants?
Yeah, if he's feeling it like from a negative standpoint. We all feel it when we play. I've said it 1,000 times here in this show that, you know, sometimes it's hard to play in front of your home fans if they're not all buying in on you. And I'm not saying that Giant fans should be. They have to have the feeling that they have about their team, and the players feel the negativity. They do. And I think Daniel's probably one of those players, and only he knows what he's feeling, but he obviously plays better on the road.
The week in the NFL wraps up tonight with the Jets and the Bills once again for MetLife Stadium. All right, some other stuff around the league. The Bears beat the Jaguars in London. Here was Doug Peterson. Why can't you bounce back when things go wrong? I believe that was the question.
You know, right now, those are things that are sort of plaguing us, right? And it's the... the mistakes, and then being able to overcome the mistake, and you know, those are the things that we have to obviously take a look at and
get better at. I did not find the clip you were talking about, change your culture, so that might have been maybe said off the podium to a reporter, but he was asked, how bad does it feel at 1-5?
Defeated, obviously. Defeated. I feel for the players and the coaches. We work extremely too hard, you know, to be in this position. I feel like the guys are, you know, they don't quit. They keep
fighting. Yet we had the player last hour say they quit.
There's a lot of ugliness going on there. You know, this week, the New England Patriots are going to London to play Jacksonville.
Oh, God, that's the game?
Yes. That's your Sunday morning game.
That's criminal. I mean, just don't have to wake up for that one.
As bad as it gets.
Well, I mean,
it is funny. Last week, I was genuinely excited for the 9:30 Jet Viking game. Like,
yes.
I actually scheduled my day around starting at 9:30. This week, I'm like, Jaguars, Bears. No, I don't think so. And Jaguars, Patriots, I'm out. Ugh. Lions.
Bye week, Dallas and Chicago this week.
Yeah. Cowboys need it after they got buried by the Lions 47-9. Couple of things here. Mike McCarthy, what happened?
I think clearly, you know, number one, we were beaten.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were beaten soundly.
To a pulp.
Oh. I mean, you want to talk about an ass whooping? This is as bad as it gets, man. I mean, just Dan Campbell just took out that whooping stick, beat my ass. Two black eyes, broken ribs. Beaten to a pulp.
By the way, that was the largest home loss in Cowboy history under Jerry Jones.
Shut up. Stop talking.
On his 82nd birthday.
Yeah, it was bad. I don't need your stat pack.
Happy birthday, Jer.
We get to suck on that all week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, 2 weeks. Yeah, they got to suck on that for 2 weeks. That's how bad that was. And guess who they get when they come back? On the road in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Not easy. Speaking of the Lions, who ran I believe it was 40-9 or 40-6. They ran the hook and ladder with the line. So they were having their way with the Cowboys. Here was Dan Campbell in the locker room afterwards. Remember last week when Jared Goff had the perfect game?
Yes.
And he didn't give him a game ball? Yes. Well, he remembered this time.
It's a hell of a win. You guys didn't let off the gas. That's a way to finish it out. I do have two game balls. And this time I wrote down some stats. I wrote down some stats. Let's start here on offense. 18-25, 315 yards passing. All right, three tugs, 153.8 quarterback rating. Jared Goff.
So he gave one to Brian Branch as well, who had a couple of interceptions. And then before they broke it down, Goff gave it right back.
Real quick. Our head coach is our rock now. We're in Dallas, and his
plays where he played game ball.
That's so what happens when you win, man. And by the way, Jared Goff, his last two games, 5 touchdown passes, 157.5 rating. In a 2-game span, it's the highest rating a quarterback has ever had in NFL history, minimum 40 attempts.
How about that?
He's killing it.
He is on fire. They are on fire. Now, they lose Aiden Hutchinson to a horrific injury. Ugh.
And I think he stayed back in Dallas to have surgery.
Yeah. He's going to have it set today, and obviously what you worry about, not only just setting it and everything else, but also infection. So hopefully everything goes well for him.
Eagles beat the Browns 20-16. Steelers over the Raiders 32-13. Mike Tomlin said, yes, we did.
You know, winning is our business. Football's our game. Winning is our business. We hadn't been handling business, and so it's just good to get back to taking care of business. This is a normal state for us. It needs to be.
Tomlin is my name. Winning is my game.
They need to play the Raiders every week. Everybody needs to play the Raiders.
Oh, that was his like pickup line back in the day.
Tomlin is my name. Banging is my game.
Who knows? Maybe it was. Maybe that's where it all started. Yeah. Preseason basketball, the Knicks beat the T-Wolves 115-110. WNBA Finals, Liberty beat the Lynx 80-66, even up the series at a game apiece, and all three local hockey teams in action tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Want to talk some Mets, Jets, Giants, Yankees, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Get some of those calls in from now until 10 a.m. at the end of the show. Did want to touch on here in this shorter segment the Dante DiVincenzo stuff a little bit more from last night. Clearly upset. And he could say whatever he wants after the game about, you know, I'm not going to talk about it. I didn't have any issues and all the stuff that he was saying after the game, trying to de-escalate the situation. But, I mean, it's clear as day. He's at the foul line and he goes, thanks for the trade, Tibbs. And that's what happens when they let you run the show. So he believes that it was Tibbs who was going to not give him as much playing time. And then it was Tibbs who drove home the fact that he wanted Karl-Anthony Towns, and Dante DiVincenzo ends up in the trade. And then Rick Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo, after the game, they end up talking, and it seems like Brunson took exception, him yelling at the bench, and then DiVincenzo said, I was yelling at Tibbs. I mean, I love the fact that Dante DiVincenzo wants to be here. We're going to miss him. There's no two ways about it. That energy that he brought, I mean, so many clutch three-pointers, and it sucks that he had to go. But you have to give up something to get something. And I know he wanted to be here in New York with his friends and his buddies and Villanova and everything else. But they didn't, like, exile him to Rick Pitino's old Greek team. Like, you know what I'm saying? The Minnesota Timberwolves
are a good team.
Are a really good team, and they may have the best player in basketball on their team in Anthony Edwards over the next couple of years.
Think about how many shots Dante DiVincenzo will be able to make and take now that he's starting for the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, the Knicks, you got to give them credit for bringing Dante here in the first place.
Sure, yeah.
And then Dante was at the right place at the right time with all the injuries that took place. And because of that magical run in the playoffs and how impactful he was, which meant that at this moment, he was at the highest point of his NBA career and the most coveted when it came to a trade.
Sure. Yep.
So in order for the Knicks to get better, to get bigger, to get a certain type of player to go along with Mikal Bridges, and, you know, look, that was a nice story last year. But internally, Tibbs and everybody else knows that that was not a championship team. Even if Julius Randle were healthy and Mitchell Robinson were healthy, you know, it's a nice deep playoff run team. It's probably going to, you know, 2 rounds and that's it. Now they actually have the makings of what I think is a team that could give Boston, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia a run for their money.
Well, I think that they were better than Philly already last year. I mean, the Bucks could be.
Being a Philly added Paul George.
Yeah, no. So what?
Well, he had a great night the other night. I know it's preseason, but these guys tend to play more preseason in this sport than any other sport, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Paul George to the 76ers. I mean, it's really about Boston. I mean, do you have a shot against Boston now?
And they always give Boston a good run for their money.
Yeah.
They played them tough when everybody was healthy. But I understand why like these guys are upset. I can understand why Julius Randle's upset. But, you know, the Knicks felt like they had to do it. And when they brought in Mikal Bridges, we were all excited. And now you have to look at your team and say, okay, how are all of these guys going to work with Mikal Bridges now? And I think for the most part, Dante DiVincenzo could work with anybody. But is Julius Randle going to work with him? You know, is that going to work? Probably not. And I think let's be honest. They did exactly what they should have done. I think that they've really improved the team, and I hope it shows itself early on in the season so we can forget about this run last year and have a legitimate chance at a championship.
Yeah, and I don't think that there was any way possible this deal was going to be done where Karl-Anthony Towns and Dante DiVincenzo could be on the same team just from salary stuff and what you had to give up and other options. I mean, they had to give up a pick as well. So, I mean, I think every Knick fan would love to have both those guys on the team, but it was impossible. It just wasn't going to work out. So, I mean, there used to be a time in recent memory where nobody wanted to come to the New York Knicks. Now we're in a situation where people get traded away from here and they're pissed off. So that is a good thing. And their starting five is as talented as anybody in the league. And it's going to be great, man. I mean, we could just roll right into it after all the great stuff that's going on here. You get to, and it's, you know, basketball regular seasons, much like every other regular season. Yeah, it's boring, too long, everything else. But this year, with this group and Towns and the way that the Garden is for every single game, it's going to be awesome. Every game is going to be a must-watch.
It's a move that it took a while to make, and you got to give Leon Rose a lot of credit because he has taken his time. It's been patient. It's been acquiring assets, acquiring the right players. Maybe the first time around, he didn't acquire the right players. When he brought Fournier in here and Kemba Walker in here. But then again, those were the only guys that he could attract or get here.
Yeah.
And he tried for other players, and then, you know, they openly, I mean, to the point where they ended up getting fined, you know, got Jalen Brunson. Well, and that was the move that changed this whole thing.
And this is the team now. If the Knicks are going to win a title, this is going to be the team to do it.
And then the trade for Josh Hart. That was a great trade.
Yep.
And he's turned out to be a really good Knick, and everybody loves the way that he plays with the heart and desire, and he plays bigger than he is. And then you bring in OG Anunoby, that great trade, and you sign him. Mm-hmm. And then you go out and you trade for Mikal Bridges, and then you bring in Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, you've now brought in Brunson, Hart, OG Anunoby, Bridges, and Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's your top five. That's your starting five.
I mean, you've brought all these guys in. Yeah. These are not, and you've used your assets to acquire them.
You have, and there's not a Towns is the only one in there that we got to see if it works, and it works here in New York. But the other guys you trust.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.